This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's a place where all of your dreams come true.
Hey!
Way, hey, 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 where there's peril and mystery and treasure too.
Way, the Emperor Holloway.
So grab your seahorses and join the crew.
Down in Vicky's world. Oh, down in Vicky's world.
Bravo! Bravo! Hello! And welcome back to Vicky's World. It's me, your friendly feline paladin, Kataeb Khan. Sorry it's been so long, we've really missed you all. And I'll tell you more about why we've been away and what's happening next in the mid-show break. But for now, let's give you a little catch-up, shall we? Yes, we managed to get the second of Journey's bounty from a very angry Karesk. And we just about managed to get away, but the ship was truly battered in the process. But no worries, Captain Stern has a plan. She used the artifact we escaped with, some sort of magical catapult trebuchet type thing, to blast a hole in the sky. We traveled through that hole and got ourselves to an island of ghosts, who happened to double as ship repair folk. So, you know, pretty ordinary stuff, I think you'll agree. This just so happened to be the island where Sally heard she could learn more about her enigmatic shape-shifting community. So we had a mini-bar crawl until we found the right place and Sally flashed her totem to the bartender, who took her through a magic mirrored portal thing in the basement to the headquarters of the secret society. She met the big boss and asked him many, many, many questions while Archie and Kataeb waited upstairs with a bottle of whiskey. And that's where we are now. So, sit back, relax, drink your doobie, and please enjoy Vicky's World.
Generations ago, the world ended. Forests were torn up, mountains were toppled, and whole lakes were swept away by the power of a furious storm. The only hint of life remaining was the fathomless ocean, pinpricked by islands and lit by perpetual starlight, in a region known collectively as Etienne Regia. While the goddess Hearth oversaw civilization, construction and society, guiding folk who built communities on storm-lashed rocks or networks of houseboats, those seeking fortune and the treasures of the sea sought the bounties of the god of adventure, Journey. The twin gods worked in harmony for many moons beneath the celestial fabric of stars, but as the storm began to weaken half a century ago, opening new trade routes, a third power arose in Etienne Regia, the Regent Company. Now a dominant faction, with the largest fleet of ships and representatives in every parliament, elder council and local committee, wherever you go and whatever you do in Etienne Regia, the Regent Company is watching. We join our hero, Sally Spearfish, as she speaks with Lieutenant Agent Roger Hansom of the Dawn Shield in their secret base far below Vagonia Harbour. Sally, you asked for information on Captain Stern and on the forces of darkness that waged this war before the storm and were responsible for creating the white clay earplugs that you and Gwathryn have been investigating since the City of Summers. Agent Puck Lightly, the agent assigned to your case, is just stepping back into Hansom's office, arms full of papers in a manila file.
Okay.
Ah, very good. Set them down here. There you are, Sally. Everything we could find on those things that you asked about, I gather. And Puck Lightly goes, yes, of course. This is all we have on the earplugs. And he reveals the first file, which has very little in. But the second pile perhaps is more interesting to you. He peels it open. He says, you asked me for records of this Captain Stern under whom you sail? I have records of her cropping up through history at significant times, beyond the life expectancy of even the longest-lived elf or gnome. And as you take a look at this file, you find sheaf after sheaf of evidence of Captain Stern popping up. There are drawings of her leading a crew into battle with a vast kraken. There is a small floating illusion, as you flick through, of a mosaic depicting her face. And there are paintings and written descriptions of her that go back centuries.
It's Journey, isn't it? She's Journey. John is right. And I really don't like it when John is right. Especially
wait,
when
wait,
I...
Wait, wait, wait. We had this discussion before the episode starts.
That's true. I like it when John is right and I agree with him. When John is right and I disagree with him, I'm like, damn it all to hell, John is right. Okay, all right. Damn. And okay, Hansome, my lad, did this not strike you as somewhat odd? How has it taken me to be like, hey, look at this lady alive for 500 years?
Well, oddities occur all the time. You know, the average life expectancy of an elf is 800, similar for gnomes.
All right, but you said beyond the so we're thinking, what, 1,000 years-ish?
Certainly. Well, she's always seemed to be a force for good, as far as I can tell, Lightly.
And sure.
Agent Lightly nods. Says,
is she
I don't know.
Journey?
Well, that would be quite a stretch of the imagination. She seems to be impressive and old, but she certainly doesn't seem to be a god.
Okay, would it change your mind if I told you that she, with one word, brought massive tentacles out of the sea?
Well, I might think she were a little more fun at parties, but... I mean,
she isn't.
Well, I do realise that there are a variety of different high-level spellcasters that might be able to summon tentacles, as you suggest.
Yeah.
It's a rather a large leap from a powerful spellcaster to a deity, but it's an interesting theory, certainly. How might you go about testing it?
Well, I've already asked you how to kill a god, and we're not sure, so... Not that I want to kill her. I don't think that's a good idea.
And you said this was the captain you were sailing with?
Yes. And she's got a coffin in the bottom of the ship that's, like, lead-lined and magic-proof. That's a bit concerning, isn't it?
I suppose you're right. Well, Sally, obviously you expressed some concerns about becoming a member of our organisation officially in any investigative capacity. But still, it seems like you found yourself at rather the centre of a mystery here.
You son of a bitch, I'm in.
Very good. Right, sign the NDAs. Let's go. He pulls out a contract of membership of the Dawn Shield as an agent.
I read the contract and look for suspicious small print like we own your soul or you've got to like bang shapeshifters to carry on the shapeshifter tradition.
Whoa, whoa.
Like I don't want any dodgy business. I want zero dodgy business from Hansom.
This is a sex cult, you have to tell us.
You read through the big print as normal,
cult?
But the small print is a sex cult and it says, haha, good choice. This was a vigilance test. And he says, aha, the excellent work. Presuming you wouldn't sign it, never mind. It hands you the real contract.
Oh, always getting into sex cults with Vicky. Okay.
I don't know what it is about us. Just the magnetism of our bond attracts
what else is
sexy
this podcast
weirdos.
If not a sex cult, really?
Yeah.
God, if it's a sex cult,
really,
I've been
really
missing out on team meetings.
Really sexually frustrating sex cults in that we're just waiting for it to start and it's a MacGuffin. The sex is a MacGuffin.
It's more of a social distance sex cult.
Social distance sex cult. That would be an amazing podcast title. Okay.
Band.
Socially distance sex cult. Okay.
It's an improv group name.
You need a 2 meter long dick to enter. No, sorry. Carry on.
Can we get a suggestion for a common household object that my mum would use?
Dildo.
Spatula. Okay.
God. It's too real. Cool. So would you like to sign up to be an official agent of the
Does it essentially what I'm trying to ascertain is what are the things I have to do if I sign it? Because it's one of those things where I'm like, how obligated does this make me?
The obligations are you don't tell anyone else about the agency of the Dawn Shield. You work to, it's kind of vague, but it says essentially to better the community you're in. And you agree to update your superiors whenever convenient about the progress of your missions.
I'm going to circle clause number two and be like, all right, this greater good bollocks, that feels like a cover for all manner of sin. And as much as I'd love to move the narrative on, this is quite a big decision for my character. So...
I understand. Well, I'll tell you what, given the fact that it is a big decision,
should I think about it?
Yes, parchment can wait. Here. He folds up the contract tightly and places it into a scroll case, kind of a bamboo scroll case. He screws it up and he hands it to you. As soon as it touches your hand, there is a small little blaze of magic that seals around the edge where the lid is. And he says, you'll be the only one able to unfurl that, and there's a pen and ink in there as well, if you so wish. Whenever you feel like signing it, sign it, place it back in that case, and it will be sent to me. But if you don't sign it, then at least I hope that we leave allies, perhaps even friends.
Oh, maybe. Okay, clause number one.
Quick.
Old fashioned. Clause number one, I'm not going to lie, I may have accidentally violated that because I'm pretty sure I updated friends of mine on what this whole medallion business is.
Ah, well, before being beholden to the contract, I suppose that can't be helped. Are these trusted friends?
Well, one of them did try to break in here with me, but in fairness, I helped. So he's the gentleman that you've got trapped over there. Can I have him back? Please don't kill him.
Oh, he's not trapped, but lightly. Bring up the surveillance footage. Puck lightly spins like a zoetrope, and it is, you kind of hold it up to your eye, and it is of Gwathryn stepping into a mirror and bonking his nose and going like...
Could I have that footage? I've got uses for it.
If you continue to watch the footage, I'm like approaching the mirror in different angles, speeds. I'm just bouncing off it every time. Like there'll be nothing in the frame, and you'll just be like, "Oh, he's given up." And then you just see me like out of a
running.
Does Gwathryn end up expect going bonk?
Does Gwathryn end up smashing the mirror up? Kung fuing it to shit.
No, it's a magical item, so it doesn't seem to be even dented despite Gwathryn's best attack.
So he knows.
After a few minutes, he just shrugs and then pulls down his pants and starts checking it.
Come on.
I made myself.
Come on, the view's good.
That's
dreadful.
Come on.
We've got
we
very horny
call
today.
Back to that for the
you
whole
like,
episode.
Come on,
so no
we
one
need
can
to finish on time. Come on, we need to get through the plot. And
we don't
then
have time
this.
For jerk off jokes. Are we even doing the podcast? Yeah.
A sad fact, but a true fact.
So, I find out anything from the first file about the ear things, barring what they've told me already, which is basically it's a parasite that lives in your brain that controls your thoughts, that's used by the dark side, which sounds vague to me, but they don't appear to be able to tell me anything else.
That's all that seems to be available. All. Either it's a case of they don't have any more information, or you are not cleared to access it.
Mm. Okay. All right. In which case... Ooh, I know. If our lovely captain is a god or a demigod or just a evil lady who's lived for 1,000 years and apparently controls the sea, you know, all possibilities in Vicky's world, do you maybe want to like send somebody after us so we're not just four people fighting a very powerful lady who has massive fuck off tentacles that follow her around? Do you maybe want to come with? Or are you good?
I understand your reservations, Sally, but you must understand, as a clandestine organisation, we cannot be seen to act out in the open, chartering a ship to oppose a deity. evil or otherwise.
Yes, that would
I'm
be
afraid,
insane.
Yes, absolutely mad. Look, I would love to provide you with some kind of support, but I'm afraid there really is a limit as to what we can do. We don't acquire funding or particular support beyond what our members can gather. If you really truly think that there's a sincere and real danger to the world, then I'm afraid we're not the people you should be talking to. We are more subtle than militaristic, unfortunately.
Okay. I'm just seeing the boundaries of your power. What's the name of Gwathryn's mentor? I forgot.
Venter.
It is Venter, isn't it? Which is the name of my pandemic legacy character.
That's nice. A little bit
season one.
Season two, actually, because it's the lady with all the wind in her hair, and Venter means wind.
I played season two.
Season two is interesting. Very different to season one. Anyway, have you ever heard of a dude called Venter from City of Summers? Flag up at all?
Venter. Yes, we've had run-ins with him, yes.
Good, bad, ugly? Sexy.
more the first than any of the others.
Good.
They're very well aligned with our aims, in fact. Not one of us, but an ally. As far as I recall, last I saw them, they were headed north to Forge. Of course, that was several years ago, and unfortunately, we have yet to hear from them.
Okay. All right.
Well, unless there's anything else we can do for you, Sally, or Selena, I suppose we should return you to your mission to continue to do whatever good you wish to.
Cheers.
But know if you ever run afoul of anything that you need a little help for, the Dawn Shield will always be there.
Cool. I'll keep the contract in mind. Is it going to find you if I miss... I can send it to you from the City of Summers. It'll be fine.
Lovely.
It'll be all be good.
Well, I hope to receive it. He stands and offers you his hand.
I fist bump him.
He is startled because he is from the 40s, but he chuckles in delight.
And then I go, fa-la-la-la.
He also wiggles his hands.
Good.
And then he says, right, lightly, show her to the door. Good to meet you, Miss Spool. I hope to see you again.
And you. Handsome.
Agent Lightly leads you back down the corridor.
I feel like he has got a very sexy dad energy.
Whoa!
Is this the guy who
Roger Hanson?
Who looked like he looked like a crash test dummy, right, with a moustache?
Yeah. So all of the changelings here, they don't tend to take on particular forms, and you would know that a changeling's default form is essentially some shade of grey going through all the way. From white to black, of like essentially like a
are there
default
about 50
mannequin.
Shades of those?
I wouldn't know.
Okay.
But the yeah, so there's a whole variety, and some of them seem to have kept features. So some of them seem to have deliberately remained tall or short, heavier or lighter. Some seem to be missing limbs or have particular sort of changes to their body that they prefer to keep because they feel like it represents them. And similarly, some have sort of strange features. You notice a couple with sort of glasses that they've decided to just sort of make part of their bodies. Hanson has a moustache. A couple of them have like epaulets.
Is he Stephen Fry from season four of...
You made this reference last time. He's not Stephen Fry as Belchett.
So if a shapeshifter gets their arm chopped off, can they shift shape and just get a new arm? No problem.
Depends on the shapeshifter, I guess.
Okay. Let's find out.
Let's try it. Sasha,
chop off my arm.
Waiting in the bar.
Your leg... Back towards the mirror that is one of the entrances to this area. And Agent Lightly turns to look at you and he says, I'm glad that you are all right. I was concerned.
Ooh. But you've only known me for like 6 minutes, so that's kind of nice.
Oh, Selena, I've known you since you were a child.
Do I recognize him? Or is this just Soup's creepy?
He shifts his face and you see that Agent Lightly takes on the guise, first of all, of the balding man who first gave you your pendant, and then the face of the mayor of your houseboat settlement.
I slap him.
Okay, he takes the slap. He goes, oh, what's that for?
Really? You couldn't have explained this to me. I thought my dad wasn't my dad. I thought you were my dad. I literally left because you lack communication skills. This is not an acceptable way of raising people. I am not okay with this, I tell him.
Sorry, that is simply how we do things. But I was waiting until you were 18. I was told to keep an eye on you, and
well,
unfortunately
you didn't.
I failed.
And then you exiled my parents, which, P.S., fucking weird decision there, because it sounds like you failed, not them. Do you know where they are now? Because I'll tell you, and you're going to go retrieve them. How does that sound to you?
You don't order me around.
Watch me.
Whoa.
He calls your bluff, he waits.
I wait also.
The awkward administrator at the front is like, can I get anyone some coffees? Some teas? And the agent lightly goes...
Before he says anything, I'm gonna say something and then I'm gonna leave.
Okay.
Because it's in character and that's how I feel Sally would respond.
Okay.
You know when you exiled them that you exiled them for your fuck up. You know that. I don't even need to tell you that. You work for this benevolent organization. Go and fix your own mistakes. Goodbye. I'm leaving.
You turn and you walk back through the mirror.
You hear, the only thing you hear before you step through is the administrator going, "Ooh!" And then you step through into the cellar where Gwathryn has just finished waiting for you.
I'm just about to take a run up.
I bail. Dude, it's not gonna work. It's a magic mirror. I feel like it's something we could have figured out.
Yeah, it's fair. Yeah, fair.
You are not gonna believe what I found out.
Yeah, what happened?
I relay the information about the weird clay things.
What the fuck?
I know, you didn't put it. You didn't put it in your ear, did you? Because that would be problematic for all of us.
No, I didn't put it in my ear or anybody else's.
Excellent.
Probably not a good thing to do.
Yep.
I was sorely tempted at times.
I know.
Just to see what happens. But then I pull one out. This one, though, should be inert, though, right? If the little parasite's gone out of it, it shouldn't. Not when we're trying it out.
Yeah,
but
let's not try it, because that's not a question I asked. Unless we're really in trouble, and then we just ear everyone.
It's like an unloaded gun. You're still careful with it.
I'll be honest with you. If we're in a combat situation where I can slip something into somebody else's ear, I mean,
you're grappling too close.
Bit of a long shot, I suppose. I mean, yeah, all right.
You could put it into one of those like pea shooter things and then try and shoot it in their ear remotely.
I like
what
your thinking.
What stat
Sally.
Is that? Oral
range attack, isn't it? So did you tell me
there
about
there is a blowpipe as a weapon.
Yeah. Do you tell me about Venta?
Yeah. Well, he's had dealings with them, but they think he's overall good, so that's pretty much all we've got. There's not a huge amount of information.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. And he's most likely in Forge.
Yeah.
All right.
We think.
I know where season 4 is going to be.
Forge.
All right, Sally, you've done so well. Thank you so much for telling me this. And
that's all right. By the way, our captain's been alive for like 1,000 years, so that's fun. She's depicted in mosaics.
Is there? Are there any species?
No,
races that
no.
I know
she has
that
lived
last...
beyond everything. I'm
beyond
sorry, you were
other.
Asking Vicky,
right,
but
okay. Yeah.
No, it seems Sasha's right.
One time,
nothing that would live long enough to also be depicted in mosaics.
Bloody hell! I mean, we know she's powerful. This goes beyond anything we've encountered. You know, one thing. Let's not piss her off.
Yeah,
maybe that's an idea. All right. Should we go? Should we go back up? Tell the others everything. All right. Sally, this is really important information. Do you tell me about the organization at all, or is that now like you just
I mean, I haven't signed the contract, so I could be telling anyone anything at this point.
Get it all out of your system now.
Well I strategically didn't sign it because I'm gonna tell Zayden about it, right? Like, that's, I'm also going to tell you, but I'm going
to... Oh, okay. It's your boy you wanted to tell.
You share more with Zayden than any of us, which is kind of... I am. I can't help but disguise. I can't disguise my jealousy of that. Really, to be honest.
I tell everyone things.
Archie takes a large drink and he holds it for ages, waiting for some shocking news so he can go. Just breathing through his nose.
I sense this and say, all right, we better go back upstairs. Archie's got something to do.
Yeah.
Archie, what are you doing?
This is what Katayan and Archie have been doing for the last 30 minutes.
This is holding whiskey in their mouth.
Sure, there's going to be something. Gloop.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I like the idea they've been practicing spit takes.
Oh yeah, yeah. The longer you hold whiskey in your mouth, the more disgusting it tastes. Yeah. Wow.
Just dissolves your tongue.
Archie ends up getting very drunk unintentionally because he keeps putting more alcohol in his mouth so that he can be ready to spit take. He's like, where are they? Come on, I want to do a spit take.
Well, we should wait for them to at least come up from behind the bar, then we take a big sip. Come on, man.
Fine. Come on. I mean, yeah, you've been saying that for half an hour. Fine.
Just everything's covered in their spit. Just
top
absolutely
up,
everything.
Buddy.
Here you go.
Callas just stood there in like galoshes and a rain mac with an umbrella. Like, this is why we do not have customers.
As we come back in, is like the floor's covered in water, like just where we're just like. Do I have to do a dex check so I don't suppose?
Yes, you do.
Dude, why?
Oh. No.
Make a dexterity saving throw.
Why would you do these things?
Dex saving throw.
Dexterity saving throw for you and for Sarah.
That's actually not spit, guys. Sorry.
Okay.
There's no bathroom here.
It's syrup.
Oh, 21.
Oh, that's okay, cool. Not actually that bad. Where is my saving? 16.
You two are both fine to walk on a slippery, wet
floor. Archie, they're coming. Archie, they're coming.
We've been on a ship. We've been on a ship for months, or like weeks, like, which is usually quite wet with all the waves. We're absolutely fine, like striding around, a little bit of spit on the floor. Oh, fucking hell, what do we do?
Oh. So we lay down all that, all that skateboard grip on the deck of the ship.
Archie, they're coming now. Take a big sip.
Archie's just slumped on the table with a bottle. Just like
So we precariously make our way back to the table, just about surviving the dangers of the slightly damp wooden floor. And
hey, guys, they still don't have a pool table.
I think we have bigger fish to fry.
Terrible.
Yes.
So, Sally, do you want to tell them?
Our captain is potentially a god because she's.
I put my finger over your mouth and I take a big swig. Okay.
Yeah.
Cheeks bulging. I go,
Yeah, good time.
I duck because I know where this is heading. I turn Archie slightly and stand to the side of him and just point him at the barkeep. Sorden, I would imagine. And just go, our captain's been alive for 1,000 years.
Now Archie just chokes on the alcohol.
Damn it all to hell.
Oh, no. And he falls over.
Cool.
It didn't go to plan.
He falls with a splash onto the carpet.
Yep.
Yeah, so she's been alive for 1,000 years. She's generally been a force for good, which heartens me somewhat.
Wait, is there any race that can live 1,000 years, Sally?
No, there is not. We've thought about this, and there is
technically
not.
A long, like Druid and Monk both get timeless bodies, and if you are an elf, then you live for a long time. But look, for the purposes of this, she has lived way longer.
She's lived over any life expectancy, and they don't seem to have great tabs on her, but she has been around, right? Wow. And Gwathryn's ear things are parasites that control your brain.
My God, it's like Animorphs.
Has Kataya ever heard of stories where Bast has like actually shown up on Earth, whatever the fuck this planet is called.
In the Blessed Lands,
In
baby.
The Blessed Lands. Does Kataya know any stories like that where like a god has shown up or a goddess?
Usually Bast sends emissaries, right? So sometimes she sends cats or mostly it's cats.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, yeah.
Cats or kittens.
Cats or another cat. Like,
tiger. So it's like, maybe once there was a tiger.
Or lynxes.
Yeah. But that was actually an emissary of the goddess of panthers.
So there are like, these are like angels, essentially.
Well, yeah. So basically.
They're like eternal beings as well.
In this world, the fact that the deities are real is like an incontrovertible fact. They definitely exist. You know for a fact that they are real. And they choose to a lesser or greater degree to interfere. So sometimes deities will send like celestial creatures to act much in our same kind of understanding of like angels and things like that as sort of messengers, but also sometimes as like fighters on the side of right and good. But that's more kind of mythic, really. You may have heard like stories of somebody, you know, 500 years ago, like a tale of a cobbler who was assisted by a magic cat that made all his shoes by the morning, sort of thing.
Sandals. Surely you meant sandals.
Sorry, sandals. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Made all his sandals by the morning. Mm. But on the whole,
for the big procession,
deities themselves don't tend to personally interfere. They tend to send messengers or act through paladins and clerics.
So, okay, if Captain Stern is not herself a goddess, perhaps she is working directly for one, more directly than myself, for example. Like, properly, like...
We think she's power. Like Journey's conduit in the world. Is that what we think?
Yeah. Conduit, PA.
I feel like these deities, they're just, if they can be killed, and again, even these lads don't really know how, I feel like they're more corporeal than we give them credit for.
Mm. Maybe it's time to go kill us a god.
As you consider this, you make your ways back to the Maiden's Revenge.
Are we going to let Archie's comment just like...
Archie's drunk.
No. He's drunk. Let's kill a god, he says, walking off.
So as you say this, you move your way back to Vigonia Harbour and back to the Maiden's Revenge. You can see that the last of the ghostly workers has finished sort of sprucing up the hull, and as you see it sat there in the gentle tide, you can see that it looks as good as new. You can see the petrol figurehead on the front, the mangonel on the aft, and still behind you, some way away, glittering in the distance, these strange cracks that the mangonel kind of cracked almost in reality through whatever divided these islands from the rest of the islands.
Looking good, ghosties. Thank you.
Many of them give you thumbs up or kind of try to slap your shoulder in a kind of friendly way, but they pass right through. You see most of them returning to one of the two pubs on the island, and the rest return to the other two buildings, which seems to be
houses. I left you a bottle behind the bar.
Callum says, please never come back, thank you. And he's waving, and you will make your way back to the Maiden's Revenge. The captain is getting ready to set sail as you all climb onto the gangplank. She sees you're all in good working order and she says, very good, to your stations. We sail as soon as we can. And she strides off.
Vicky, what did we come to this island for? Was it just repairs?
It was for repairs, yes.
Okay.
Captain.
Yes?
What of the third of Journey's bounties?
Unclaimable. We'll have to press on without, unfortunately. That singer you mentioned, she was the guard. And the captain strides away.
Does that mean... Oh, okay. Okay, bye, Captain.
Bye. Kaiten pops up. Kaiten pops up and make sure that you are all okay or feeling all right. Distributes a couple of hangover cures, and the stars shine over the Maiden's Revenge as you leave Vigonia Harbour. Kala, Gar, and the ghosts wave to you as their sails unfurl and fill with a cold breeze that pulls you out into the ocean. It's not long before the Ile de Souvenir, with its black sands and gold-shot rocks, and the strange, shimmering, cracked gateway behind it, are both far behind you. Zayden and Jeremy have both stepped out on deck to join you all, and to watch the island recede. As you all sail, the stars above you seem to grow brighter and more plentiful, as magnificent in their cold light as any of the City of Summer's days. Beneath you in the wine-dark waters, you begin to see pinpricks of light. Luminous, drifting shoals of fish flicker beneath the boat, moving in perfect unison. Gradually, the lights beneath you grow to drifting figures, humanoids, hundreds of them, until you are no longer sailing on salt water,
but on the spirits of the dead. Beside you all, Caton begins to mutter a prayer, and then, realizing that there's nobody there to hear him, stops.
I was enjoying that, Caton. I'm listening.
He says, there's no point anymore, is there? Kat seems similarly entranced. Rieck sits on the crow's nest, staring out at the miles of the dead. Archie, you feel the gentle touch of Jeremy's hand on your back, steadying you. And Sally, you feel Zayden's fingers delicately entwined with your own, his warm palm against yours, as you notice some of the figures are twisting, beating their fists against the surface of the water, churning in fury and agony. Captain Stern sails on. The Maiden's Revenge begins to wind between pillars of crumbling sandstone, monuments and plinths on which only a few bestial feet or hooves remain visible. A castle, with a turret pierced through by a huge metallic spear, slumping into the water like a knight with a lance through his chest. A golden-roofed minaret lying across the water, half-submerged like a crocodile. A ruined crystal orb, a smashed-up shell the size of a town hall, a step-sided pyramid half-collapsed, an amphitheatre grown over with dead corals. The Maiden's Revenge winds through each of them. The sea here does not make a noise, and there are no birds, nor fish, nor seals to speak.
And the ship is just, like, it's not on water anymore.
No.
It's just like the souls kind of, do they move like water? Are they flowing through them?
Yeah, they seem trapped beneath the ebb and flow of these waves. Many of them don't want to be.
I might take a knee and make a prayer to Bast for all of our, for my mother and for all that have lost their lives in virtuous endeavors.
Do you want to make a religion check? Roll a D100.
Oh, sure. Oh, shoot. Oh, D100. Oh, my God. What does that mean? That's this. Okay. 46.
Okay. You pray.
I chuck a mouse into the water.
Definitely going to offer a goddess of summer's, like, blessing. If we had funerals at Greenleaf Temple.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Mm. Lovely. Do you want to roll a D100?
Sure. What's the worst that could happen?
You get a natural one on a D100. The world ends.
Now all of the gods are dead, Dan. Well done. There's Z100. Oh, I got 10. It wasn't far from a zero.
Mm.
10. I'm basically going to light some, what would we light? I think we're going to light lavender, and it produces quite a gross smell. Mm. And that's what we light to sort of waft on the souls from the City of Summers.
Very nice. You managed to set up this this waving incense. You notice there's very little breeze in this part of Etienne Regia.
Just lingers.
Yeah, it just seems to slowly. It drifts slowly up, and for a moment the smell reminds you of home, of saying goodbye to people that you'd fought alongside, people that you know are walking in the garden with the goddess now. There's a strange sort of sadness about it, but there's also something that comforts you and reassures you for the journey ahead. That is cool. What
nice.
Comes back to you. You sail on. In front of you all looms an island of purple stone, and beneath you the waters begin to turn lilac, spirits fleeing and darting away beneath the tides. The island appears to be dominated by a huge violet mountain, from the summit of which a thin trail of smoke delicately winds. The Maiden's Revenge sails towards the mountain, up a quiet channel of indigo water, and then, mutely,
the mountain swallows you. Ryuk and Kat light the lanterns, and both the mangonel at the after and the figurehead on the stern begin to glow with starlight, illuminating the cavern walls around you. Gradually, the channel opens up into a warm underground lake. Its stone banks are lit with braziers holding fire that glows like starlight, which illuminate with a wave of the captain's hand. Astromora and Kat lower the anchor and the gangplank as Ryuk stows the sails, and you have a moment to look around the quiet chamber, noticing the strange way its walls ripple. They are covered in finely woven tapestries of ancient cloth. The only exit, other than the channel you sail down, seems to be a stone staircase that leads up deeper into the rock. Captain Stern directs you all to set up camp here for the night, and there's a levity in her voice as she tells Ryuk to break out the finest grog and Francois and Regina to cook the finest stew. Let's spend one last happy night here, my friends, for in the morning we return to a richer world. You're directed to make camp. As soon as you all set up your bedrolls, there are various tents that are set up in here in case the ceiling leaks and someone has water coming through their roof. Could you imagine? Astromora breaks out a dwarven fiddle and starts to play a jaunty tune, and she and Kat are discussing the tunes that they know. You see Ryuk gazing at the channel, seeming pensive. Katen also seems to be deep in thought, and Regina and Francois are serving you some delicious fish stew. Regina seems happy, or at least happy that you're no longer sailing on ghosts, and Francois seems in a foul mood. So you're all sat on the banks of this underground lake. What would you like to do?
I'm going to pass around like a soothing herb that you smoke. From my herbalism kit.
I see. I've let you sit down by a lake for 2 seconds, and this is what you do. I want to do fantasy weed, Vicky. Fuck's sake.
I've got my own buddy. I pull out my bush weed that you all seem to
have. Nice chill out vibe.
It's not a problem. You guys do it. It's just every single time you sit down near a lake, you've got a
GM.
I'm not puritanical. You guys can do it all you like.
I've still got my bushweed from season one. So maybe, Gwathryn, fancy a cocktail? Shall we mix it up a bit?
I lean over, give it a good sniff, and be like, yeah, that'll be banging.
Hey! So we mix them both up, put them in a pipe.
Very nice.
I take a big blast, and inspiration strikes me. I'm going to go over to Astromora and be like, hey, Astra!
How are you doing, Katai?
Hey. I've been practicing with this amazing lathe you gave me. And do you think the captain would mind if I made, a couple of flourishes, a couple of edits to the railing around the ship deck?
Oh, I don't know if that's such a good idea. I wouldn't edit the ship.
It would be so subtle.
Maybe not without her permission.
Okay, and I stomp over to Stern then. All right.
Captain Stern smiles at you as you come over. Yes?
Hey, Stern. Captain.
You're high, aren't you?
Look, you gave us the grog, mate. That mouse I gave you?
Yes.
That is my holy symbol, and maybe I could carve a couple into the railing around the edge of the deck, and it would give us some good fortune on our coming challenges.
That's kind, but I think the ship's fine as it is. Okay. Actually, she thinks about it for a moment. She says, fuck it. Why not? Help yourself.
Thank you.
Just make sure the railing's structurally intact.
Of course, no. Just the bit around the top, you know, that you hold onto, the kind of banister-y bit.
Go on then.
It will be good for grippage. It's going to be good. You can hold on to it. Okay, and then I'm going to go ahead and like just carefully carve a few mice. Like just kind of maybe like 4 or 5 around the boat.
Go ahead and make a check.
And try and bless them in some way. Make a little prayer for each one.
Okay. What is the prayer that you would like to make?
Just kind of, dear best,
I know I am far away from the city of cats, but I come here in your honor, serving only you, and no, serving many more, but all in the purpose of making me a better server of you. May you please protect this ship and those who dwell within it and our noble cause, and protect us from any oncoming damage. My dear Bast. Much love, hugs and kisses. Katayab Khan, your faithful servant.
Okay.
All right. Go ahead and roll a D100 and also make a check with those carpenter's tools of yours.
Okay, carpenter's tools wasn't so good. But what do I add to my roll? I did get proficiency in carpentry, so I add my proficiency bonus.
Yes, absolutely.
That's a grand total of 7.
The mice
look pretty crude, I guess.
How did your prayer go?
The mice
just little circles with the tail.
Yeah, it's like Mickey Mouse. They look like the Mickey Mouse logo, just a bunch of them.
It's fucking priceless ancient shit.
And my D100. Yeah, they're like little Mickey mice's, like just a circle just with two smaller circles.
And ruined.
Yeah,
this
I'm really high. 52
you're
is my
right, Mickey. Drugs are bad.
D100.
I never said that. I don't. You know that's not what I think.
D100 is 52.
Your tone said it, Mickey.
Look, yeah. I just think it's hilarious that every time I'm like, sit down for 2 minutes, you guys are like, yes, we'll get the marijuana out because we can relax.
We're cool, Mickey.
That you have more.
I'm not a cool kid.
It's a more safe drug than alcohol.
Yep, totally fine.
It's not addictive.
No, I don't have a problem with it. I just think it's hilarious that you do it every arc. It's the most consistent feature of this.
We haven't had any weed action this arc, so it had to happen.
I've never heard you sound this chill, Vicky. I don't know how.
Fuck off.
We get absolutely hammered every other episode, and it's like, absolutely fine.
Yeah, that's society, isn't it?
Did you guys not smoke at the lake after you'd killed that big lobster creature? Lobstery Joe?
I didn't.
We had coffee.
But you didn't put.
Yeah. Archie was smoking his magic pipe. Yeah, I didn't. I didn't slip any bushweed in there. No.
But we did lace that coffee with heroin.
We haven't combined Archie's pipe with weed yet. Okay, that's to come.
Okay, so regardless of personal opinions on drug use,
scientific facts.
So yeah, I'm not countering any scientific facts. I don't care that you guys do it. You can. It's fine. You don't need
our
my permission to do it either.
Characters.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Character-wise. I just think it's funny that you just like to chill by a lake and smoke weed.
It's hilarious.
We like to imagine the world we want to see.
Well, that's fair.
We spent a lot of time discussing this weed.
Yeah. 52. 52, unfortunately, gets you nothing from your deity. Mate. And you fuck up these mice real bad. I guess doing carpentry while high is a bad idea.
I cut my finger off.
I didn't.
Oh, no, Jesus.
your hands are totally fine. Okay, it's just the mice look shit. So, unfortunately,
not my best word, Captain. But they should bring us much good fortune. Just you wait and see.
She shrugs. She says, "Either way, doesn't matter. Have a drink. Do what you like.
Shot.
It's a good night for a party."
Could I go and speak to Captain Stern in a minute?
Of course. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So you can step over to the captain after Katayab heads away to...
Yeah, I walk past you and I go, she's in a good mood. Get what you can.
I go, okay, yes, on it.
You can go over. You see her sat there.
I bring over a spare tankard of grog in case she's in need of one.
Great.
Drink, Captain.
Thank you.
I do a little clink, if that is clink. The done thing.
She pats the stone beside her. What's on your mind, Archie?
Mm-hmm. Well, I rather wanted to see how you were feeling, actually.
Fine. Positive.
It is the end of our journey.
I suppose we are. Or at least, in some ways. But you lot still have a return voyage to make.
That's true. But as for you... What's next?
Putting things right, finally. I believe I mentioned that there was something here I had to do. And I'm nearly there.
Any chance of a sneak preview for a loyal deckhand?
You'll get what you wanted, Archie. Don't worry.
Oh, I don't mean for me. I'm very curious about what's coming for you.
Ah. All in good time, my friend.
I thought you'd say that.
No need to rush it.
I suppose not. It's all it's the journey, not the destination, as they say.
True enough. I can tell there's something that you want to say to me. Let's just get it out.
Okay, I don't know if Archie's drunk enough for this, but I've just had my second vaccine. I'm very groggy. He leans in close and he goes, Are you journeying?
Captain Stern leans in. She goes, yes.
Archie does a little dance. He goes, I won't tell anyone. That's so cool. But really, you're not pulling my leg.
No. Well, this isn't technically my leg to be doing any pulling with. This is not really my body, but she gave it up to me and she was loyal enough. I don't see any point in keeping it a secret any longer, though I will wait until this helicopter's gone over, so...
Archie looks up and goes, helicopter?
Yes, I don't see a problem keeping any secrets from you anymore. Might as well. Captain Stern was a real captain many, many moons ago. She was once a devoted follower. She did my will, represented me very well. She was brave and adventurer. But so naturally, when her time came, I extended it a little. And then, in return, when I needed a mortal body in order to cross the threshold and make it onto the mortal isles, I used hers. You understand that I couldn't have done it without it, and she understood as well and gave it up very happily. Different. It feels a little different, you know? But it's fun.
What's it like being in a human body?
Lots of bits are wet.
Yeah.
The sort of squishy bits and bony bits. And it's very fragile. Bone it gets all bit. Sweaty yeah. and sticky. Ugh.
I know. Well, I mean, it's not the it first must be time, so... but... Right. It must be so strange for you. I mean, what, if you don't mind me asking, is, I don't know if this is a rude question to ask a god, what do you like when you're not in a fleshy prison?
Oh. More ethereal, I suppose. It's hard to describe. There aren't really many mirrors, but more a creature of intention nowadays. Wasn't always, but nowadays at least.
Wow. Look, I'm really sorry I was a bit sassy to you before. That's probably blasphemy, isn't it? To be sassy to a god.
Look, if you're going to sass any god, I'm probably the best one to go for.
Okay, please don't strike me down.
You're fine, Archie. One of the good things about being very powerful is how much of other people you see. You understand people aren't perfect. You get tuned into their, seeing their best parts or their worst parts, depending on how your reign goes.
Yeah. And does anyone else know on the ship?
No. Kat probably has her suspicions, but I think you may be the only one to have figured it out.
Wow.
How about your friends? Any of those clued in?
I mean, I haven't discussed it. We didn't talk about it, right, guys? Right, guys? No, I don't say that. I zoom out of Archie for a second.
We chatted about it at the bar a little bit, didn't we?
I've talked about it out of character to you all.
No, at the bar we did. When Sally came back from the mirror, we all had a brief. You brought it up. And then Vicky transitioned us to the ship very quickly after that.
Well, I mean, we all had our theories, but I don't know if anyone knows for sure. Right, I'll let you go. I'm sorry, very, very starstruck here. But you...
Literally.
So tomorrow, I know this is not my place to ask, but we're going to bring Hearth back, aren't we?
Yes.
Cool.
Okay. I hope for all of our sakes it goes as well as it possibly can.
So do I, my friend.
And Vicky, they're siblings, right? The gods?
Yes, twins.
Right, twins, right. Yeah, I can't imagine what it must be like to lose a to lose a sibling. So I'm rooting for you, Captain.
Thank you, Archie. You know, your own loss doesn't pale in the face of a greater one for another. It's okay to still miss what you once had.
Yes, I'd rather do. Well, I'm rather hoping once all this is over, I can go back to my home and start to patch things up. Man, had a bad time with my parents, and they got in with a very bad lot. And, my name is Mud. But I'm hoping, you know, Mud can be reshaped into something else. Maybe over time, can turn it into a pot or something. I don't really know much about mud. I'm quite a fancy, really. I was really out on a limb with that metaphor.
I enjoyed it. I liked it.
Captain, it's been an unalloyed pleasure. I will leave you to your revelry.
Thank you. Well, I hope we can revel together. Come on, Archie.
You know what? Yeah.
And she slings an arm around you. Sorry?
Yeah. I said, do you know the drinking pig?
I can't say I do.
Okay,
come on, Archie.
After me. There once was a pig, was a drinking pig, and he liked to drink all day. And Archie teaches Journey.
Can we overhear this? Can we overhear this and come
of
join
course.
In?
Yes, in yeah, fact, yeah, yeah. Journey's going to lead you all over. Sorry, Captain Stern is going to lead you all over to Astromora with her fiddle and Kat, who was comparing songs. And Astromora very quickly picks up the fiddle line for the drinking pig, and it goes.
Yeah.
There once was a pig, was a drinking pig, and he liked to drink all day. He something, something, did a jig, and he said, hip, hip, hooray. Then he did, did, do, and he jumped in a sink, and he did, 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 and he went real pink. There once was a drink, was a drinking pig, and he liked to drink all day.
All day! Chug!
The lyrics kind of change every time, depending on what region you're in. It's kind of a, you know, it's a fluid song. You can add your own verse. Hey, if you wanted to add a Etienne Regia verse, now's the time.
Once was a pig. He's a sailing pig, and he likes to sail all day.
That's great. That's really good. I like that
one. Go on.
He climbed the rigging and he swabbed the deck, and he sang hip hip hooray.
Yeah.
This is great.
That's it.
No, there's another bit. And he swang from the rope, and he gave people hope, and he smoked lots of dope, and he liked to never choke.
Never
was a pig, was a sailing pig, and he
sailed
to
sail.
Hello, it's me again, just popping in the break to say thank you for listening. And to remind you how to support your favorite frolicking freestyle D&D podcast. And that's by visiting our Ko-Fi, of course. Head over there to drop us a one-time donation or to subscribe for a monthly donation, and we would be forever in your debt. There's also super cool stuff you can buy there, like phone backgrounds. And soon some on-demand videos of our Into the Storm interlude. You can find our Ko-Fi at ko-fi.com/Vicky's World RPG. There should also be a link in the podcast description. See you there. But hey, I also wanted to just say, sorry for the big gap since the last podcast release. It's been a crazy, tumultuous time, and keeping up with the edit is quite difficult for Talal to do. Talal, not me. Talal, that guy who plays me. But coming very soon will be the season finale of the Etienne Regia arc. Very well done to Vicky Hawley and all the players for another fantastic season of Vicky's World. And then, in terms of the podcast feed, we will be taking a little break. And that is to kind of help Talal with the schedule of releasing podcast episodes. So, you know, peek behind the curtain, he's going to edit up a bank of episodes, and then he'll be able to release them on a reliable weekly schedule. And that way, you know, we won't let you down. You won't have to wait ages for the next episode. However, if you're keen to stay up to date, and you know, if you're hungry for more adventure, all the episodes are recorded live on our Twitch, and perhaps on other feeds as well. And you can watch it weekly, every Thursday at 7 p.m. And you can see it as we record it. Otherwise, you have to wait a little bit for the podcast to catch up. And also, our video episodes are all available on our YouTube. Just look for Vicky's World RPG. and you'll find them right there. Okay, that's enough of me. Back to the show.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome back to Vicky's World. So, as you all sing and dance, the drinking pig and the laughing pig and the choking pig and all of the best possible pig dancing songs, eventually people start to potter off to bed. Caton potters off. He's pensive and a little bit tired, but you have a good chat with him about his hopes for the money. He's very excited because he feels like he can do some good. Riek also turns in pretty early. He seems very pensive and very quiet all this evening. And you gather that just the sight of all of this going on has very much unsettled him. Astramora... Go ahead.
Can I go see what's up with Francois? Why was he so upset?
Yeah. You can head over to Francois. He is sat on a rock, eating the last of his fish stew. And he says, "Oh, it is you. Oh, Kitayab, you will never come back, my sweet prince of the sea. You will never return."
he misses him.
You miss Deimos?
Of course, of course. He was the only one who truly understood me. He was my creator. He made me this. He awakened this awareness within me, and now he has gone, and he did not even think to take me with him.
My friend. Let me tell you something. I don't know. I hope this brings you comfort. But, you know, this life comes with many surprises, as I'm sure you know.
I did not like this one.
I know, my friend, but they come with their reasons. And
what was the reason? What was the reason? Why?
The reason was...
Francois! I give him a slap across his tentacled face.
You send him spiraling.
No, I hold him. I'm holding him.
And then he scuttles back towards you and goes, "What was that for?"
Pay attention, Francois. I was there. When he left, I was there. Okay, and I'm picking up your accent a little bit.
That's okay.
Listen, my friend.
It's a good accent.
People have to do the things that... they feel all right. And we were in a situation where Deimos was surrounded by people not very different to him. It was a him, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Deimos was he here.
And something called him. He was called back to the ocean, my friend. And he made the decision that was right to him in the moment. And he wasn't overjoyed about it. I'm gonna lie. He does send you his condolences, and he's very sad for leaving the ship. That's not quite a lie, but he saw that there were people in need, and you can rest assured that he
is where he needs to be. I promise you this, Francois. And one day, you might find yourself in a similar situation.
Roll me a deception check. If you're trying to convince him that Deimos is where he needs to be and he's thinking of you and he wishes he could stay, but he had to go.
Well, that's... Does it have to be? That's an 8. He is where he needs to
be. Francois says, "Ah, you are somebody that gets left behind a lot, are you not? Are these the lies you console yourself with? When others consider you not worth keeping around? Well, I do not have the lack of pride nor spine to convince myself with such utter bullshit." And he hops on the rock.
You are literally an invertebrate.
"You can see my spine, it is part of my exoskeleton." And he switches off. And Regina watches the cam and says,
"Good point."
"Is everything all right, Mr. Khan?"
Look, just tell Francois that he's in charge of his own life now.
"Oh, okay, I'll try. Usually when I try to talk to him, he throws ladles at me until I cook."
Ladles are very useful.
Yeah.
You can use them for scooping, for glooping, for serving.
Yeah.
For all sorts of things, for beatings.
Causing mild concussions. Look,
very handy.
Mr. Khan, do you think we'll make out okay? Do you think we're really going to get 50,000 crowns each?
You know what? It's not always about the crowns. I have a very strong feeling that we're part of history here.
That means no, doesn't it?
Clever girl.
It's not for me to say, dear Regina.
I can't eat being part of history, Mr. Khan.
But you will live forever, my dear girl.
How much your life if my boss is a lobster? She runs off.
I am just firing on all cylinders here today, aren't I?
Astrovora sees you strike out twice, and she's going to come over and bring you a delicious slice of sort of like hard scone cake. Hand it to you. Hand it to Gwathryn.
I go to pass Kataya the pipe and go, "No, no," and pass it. Pass it the other way.
Mice look good. They look like mice, right?
Yeah, they look like mice.
Yeah, mice are great. Those little circles you carved into the shit, they look fucking dynamite. Katara.
Deception checks, both of you.
I don't think I'm trying to...
sarcastically, I'm not trying to lie.
Yeah, I don't think I was trying to lie particularly. No.
All right, Katara, you know your friends are lying to you, man.
Deception check. Oh, I got 17.
Yeah, I pull out my own bushweed and have a fucking smoke.
Could I...
No, I don't. I think I've had enough.
I rolled an 18.
Not.
Okay, well, actually, you don't twig that your friends are lying to you. Meanwhile, Sally, is there anything you would like to do? We haven't really heard much from you.
I'll fill Zayden in on what's going on, see what his thoughts are.
He's amazed. He thinks it's really cool that you're part of a secret society.
Not yet.
Oh, well, do you think you will join up then?
Maybe. I mean, now that I've told you everything and I'm no longer in violation of any clauses, possibly.
Well, perhaps I could say my girlfriend is a sexy secret agent, huh?
Oh, yes. Well, if you say that, you'll violate the clause and get us both killed, but you could say that, yes.
It's not a complicated thing.
For, is it?
No, look, I'm good at a very specific thing. But,
take your shirt off, man. Come on.
Okay.
Sorry, that was mean and I didn't mean it. You're an intelligent, beautiful man and I will never put you down again. I don't know. That was a cheap laugh and I didn't want to do that.
Oh, well, thank you very much for the apology. I appreciate it, Sally. And I know you've been through a lot of difficult things, so I don't take it personally. Don't worry. But do you want me to take my shirt off anyway?
Why is it still on?
Hey, make it. You take the shirt.
Whoa. quiet. Bam, it's still ba-dum, ba-dum,
bam, ba-da-da-da. He does a little
I'm in the vicinity.
Ba-dum.
Why? Why are you close?
You're right. I'm so sorry. I have been failing on my duty.
I thought we had this conversation, if I'm honest. I'm sorry. I thought we'd covered this.
I got so lost in your eyes and the fact that you are so amazing as to be instantly welcomed to a secret society that does great and amazing things and that you could do something.
Save.
And I forgot to take off my shirt. I'm sorry.
Is this secret in an abusive relationship?
No.
The fact that he sees you, it's like, I'm sorry.
No, it's not a secret. It's not a secret.
No, I think it's a consensually fun.
Yeah, they've negotiated. They've negotiated this.
Going on.
Yeah, they've negotiated this. Canonically, they've had the yes, no, maybe talk and the traffic lights.
We've got our words that we need.
He says sorry if he doesn't get undressed quick enough when you walk up to him.
We
don't know what I do. You know, I could...
Mummy Dom, baby boy.
I am going to vomit. Let's continue. And not because I'm kink shaming or Ronald Reagan, but because these are my friends.
Could we have a quick chat with Kat?
Yes, of course you can.
I basically just want to find out like what she's expecting might happen, and also I want to return. I feel like we've been, with your permission, DM. I feel like our little flirty stealing each other things from each other's belt has escalated to like stealing things from each other's rooms.
Kisses, mayhaps.
Say again, John.
Stealing kisses, mayhaps.
I don't know. I don't know if it's progressed that far yet. I think it's all very, it's like we're still flirty.
If there's ever a night to do it.
Well, maybe. So I'm going to return the thing what I just stole from her room. Like whatever I thought was the most precious thing to her. Which God. I think, what would I, if I got a read on Kat, what would she actually really value in that room? Like, or maybe if there's something like she hid really well and I've snuck in and found it.
Wow.
She would probably hide.
You want to go a bit more playful? Just the most precious thing?
It's just built up.
Weird.
It's
just, yeah.
This has been building, this has been
still
building up.
Teenage like, diary.
It's this has been like, I think her most precious thing is going to be something quite practical. I don't know. This has been building up. This has been like this is like six or seven in the series of like we've been nicking stuff from each other and cutely returning it, like that kind of shit.
Yeah, I like that. She has a beautiful ornate little box, like a little wooden box, that she stashed underneath her dresser in a secret compartment. So you had to like pick your way in, moving very subtly, and then opening. The secret box, which I presume you would have done secretly with yourself. Not only do you find that this is a beautiful quality forgery kit, but you also find folded inside a pair of pants.
All right, so if I had found that, I would have returned the box and the pants, and I would have kept the forgery kit. And then I'm going to like leave her a note, having used the forgery kit.
Nice.
In her handwriting.
That's
good. Oh, yes. Wow. What's the note say?
It's just going to say, found it, and a little G at the top. In her handwriting, though. And I'm going to try and execute this flawlessly.
So good. All right. I'm going to need you to make do you have a proficiency with a forgery kit?
I have proficiency with calligrapher supplies and thieves' tools, not forgery kit, though, no.
It's a slightly different skill, so I'll tell you what, just make a sleight of hand check.
Okay, so this is sleight of hand without my lockpicking.
Yes, without your magic gloves.
I'm going to roll it, but I have to minus 5 from
that. Was the roll. Time to make an actual move, and you just wrote found it.
No, but that's before, now we're going to have a chat, I think.
Okay.
22 minus 5 is 17.
17, very nice. It's a pretty good forgery, actually, given the fact that also she doesn't write that much down, so you would have had to sort of like be subtle about observing enough of her writing in order to copy it well. It's a pretty good forgery. You left this note for her in her room, did you?
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, so as you as you're kind of waiting and kind of looking around, Kat sort of seems to appear at your shoulder. And she says, found it then.
yeah, it's pretty, wasn't too difficult to find.
No?
Do you think it was a pretty accurate representation of your hand?
I'd say it was a good indication you've been paying attention.
Yeah, that's true.
I like that.
That's true. Oh, good, 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 good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't want to turn to just business, but what can we expect next? You know what's going on? What are we looking out for here?
As far as I'm aware, we're supposed to be at the Isle of Gold, the Ildor. I mean, all that shit about the old, whatever they were, the ghosts under the water and whatever before. I don't know what the fuck that was, but either way, Captain seems happy and, well, she's never let me down before. I bet that she's got a plan up her sleeve to get us some dollar, some cash, some crowns. I'd have faith. If she's said we can relax tonight, might as well make the most of it. And then the morning, I reckon there's probably a hard trek, probably some guardians of treasure or something in there. Maybe even a dragon.
All right. Small stuff then. Fine.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah.
Easy.
Oh, yeah. Small stuff.
I mean, that's what
I wouldn't underestimate the small stuff, though, Guthrie.
That's really sweet. That's really sweet. Thank you.
Yeah.
No, you would be wise not to.
Yeah. I bet. You've been paying attention then to everything going around here?
Yeah, I always have an eye on things.
So what do you think of these tapestries then?
Tapestries? What tapestries? It's Dan asking.
Okay, yeah. So
I quite like Grathrin. What tapestries?
Tapestries. The whole time you've just been like in your head having the Mission Impossible theme tune, watching Cat from like behind rocks.
Yeah. Dan is asking what tapestries and has Grathrin noticed them? I don't know.
As you sailed in, you noticed the whole wall of this chamber is covered in these rippling tapestries.
Mm. What did I notice on the detail of the tapestries?
Well, if you'd like to stroll over and check, I can tell you the story. All right,
let's go have a look, Kat, shall we?
Yeah, why not? So
I pass her the pipes on.
Ta. She takes a big, deep drink of the pipe.
Wow. Yep.
Amazing.
She sucks and puffs like a cool kid.
Amazing.
Does weed.
So great.
So as you two step over to the tapestries, you can see the tapestries seem to tell the tale of a sailor and a spinner, brother and sister, who grew up poor and had only each other. The spinner wove cloth for them of such fine material it hid them in the darkness of the night, and the sailor met a storyteller on his travels. The storyteller, impressed, brought them on a great many adventures. You see in one the sailor and the spinner fighting an ancient dragon, who agrees to come along with them for a time, the bronze thread of her scales glimmering in the light of the petrol. You see an ancient giant queen holding court with them in her castle and gifting them a golden-voiced singer to aid in their quests. You see a devilish figure with marble and obsidian skin and twisting horns tormenting them at every turn. And you see the spinner in the next tapestry binding their wounds. You see them kiss and embrace, and the horned figure joins them. The storyteller leads them on a great many adventures with a great many people. There's a dwarf with a shining hammer, a tabaxi with white robes, a halfling with a crown of flowers. And all the while, the sailor and the spinner protect each other, side by side through it all. You see the figures in the next tapestry, consumed by a swirling cloud, luminous in the darkness. There is chaos and chaos and chaos. And when we see the sailor and the spinner again, they're different, they're changed. They're made of gold and of starlight and of that dark fabric that hides them. But their silhouettes are still the same, and they are still together, on board a ship, very much like the one in the harbour behind you. One by one, they give a piece of the ship to their three allies. The figurehead to the devil, the catapult to the dragon, and the sails to the golden-voiced singer. Eventually, it's just them. And they sail on, together as they've always been. There are no more tapestries. I think it's a metaphor.
You are sharp, aren't you, Kat?
Yeah, I can be.
Yeah.
Why? What do you think, Guthrum?
I also think it's a metaphor.
Yeah? For what?
I think the sailor and the spinner, it's got to be Journey and Hearth, right?
Yeah, I figure so.
Spinning for your homestead and sailing for your journeying.
Yeah, making the celestial fabric, I reckon.
Yeah, kind of makes me feel how we're all part of the celestial fabric in some ways.
We've
our own little threads throughout this tapestry of life. I'm not the only one that can do metaphors, can?
I liked it. You see she's looking at you with a genuine appreciation in her eyes that previously she would probably have kept hidden or tried to misdirect or turn into a joke. Mm. But as you look up and you start talking about how everyone's interwoven, she seems genuinely fascinated.
Mm. That's nice. What's her body language like? Is she kind of like flirty and open, or is it like...
It's flirty and open, I'd say, definitely.
Okay. All right. I don't know how to go in for a kiss as a halfling to a...
She
luckily, let's talk about how that works in D&D.
Luckily,
look up
she
and pout.
Bends down to admire the bottom of one of the tapestries and says, "Gwathryn, take a look at this."
Oh yeah, I'm gonna lean over and go, "Yeah, looks good." And I'm not looking at the tapestry, wow. You guys.
Oh,
hey. Oh,
wow. She turns to look at you, and you see her cheeks blush.
Gonna lean in and then we can fade out.
Yeah! We fade out to Katayab, sat there puffing in the background, Kat and Gwathryn making out audibly.
tapestry like flapping away.
I guess I can roll my own, I suppose. walk away.
One by one, each of you heads to bed. Some of you alone, some of you together. But you all, one by one, decide to head to bed.
Can I just say, canonically, I party hard with Journey as much as possible.
That is entirely acceptable.
I'll join in on that. We were singing the Party Pig song. I'm going to join in.
Yeah, Party Pig is a new one that we make up. It's brilliant.
There, once was a pig, was a party pig. Party. And he liked to party all day.
Yep, that's the first
one. And it continues
to take all sorts of drugs, including MDMA.
Nice.
So, you all have a long rest. In the morning, all four of you awake before the others. You find no sign of Captain Stern amongst you, but as each of you stirs, you turn to find a large treasure chest beside each one of you.
What?
So what do you guys want to do with these treasure chests you wake up next to?
Take a look.
Nice. You touch the treasure chest and the lid creaks open. You push open the chest and Katayab, it is full of shining golden crowns. You see on the top of this massive pile of crowns, the coins, a small feather token in the shape of a swan, and a little note. And the note says, "In case you ever need a journey and cannot rely on calm seas."
Huh. Archie, come have a look.
Oh my god, my head. Oh.
We're in the same room, I think. Yeah, no, Gwathryn's here too. Archie, Gwathryn!
Oh,
come
God,
have a look.
Please, no, stop. Stop talking.
Look, next to your bed.
Shut up. Oh my God.
Your bed too.
Oh my God, stop talking, but holy shit. Look, all this gold. Oh my God.
I'm going to examine the feather thing.
Cool, lovely. Do you want to make an arcana check?
Oh, for fuck's sake. I'm really rolling badly today.
That's
a 2+... Minus one. Plus minus one. That's a one.
You have no idea what this is. There is a friend amongst you who is an expert in magical items and enchantments, but he's asleep, kind of snoring next to Sally at the moment. So.
Archie, what's this?
How many treasure chests do we have?
Four. No, you've each got one.
And, Sally and Zane have their own room.
Am I?
Remember,
yeah, I'm out.
They're in a different room.
The fat bunker.
Remember the fuck bunker. Am I awake?
Yeah, you all are
awake. Yeah, we all wake up.
Can I do an arcana check? Because I feel like
What have you got on your
box? I got anything or have I got...
Or do you want to open your treasure chest?
Oh my God.
Oh, you... shit, it's going to be something awful, isn't it? Yeah, okay.
No, it's not.
It's going to be like that can of peanuts. It's really
sad. I love that I've got a treasure chest and me as the player, Sasha, is going like, oh, it's going to be bad. Oh, somebody's given me something. Oh, it's going to be awful.
You touch your treasure chest and there is a ripple of golden light. It creaks open underneath your hand to reveal, similar to Kataev, so you wouldn't know it yet, 50,000 golden crowns.
Fucking hell, that's a lot of crowns.
On top of your pile of crowns, you see also three small glass beads and a note. A note that reads, "For those whose minds cannot be changed, even by the most charismatic of wizards."
They're not anal beads, are they?
Oh my God, Tanel, I thought that but didn't say it.
No, they're not anal beads.
Okay.
Just to clarify, I will never give you anal beads.
Okay. You would never see the keys.
No, I'm pretty confident.
Right, can I purged the previous conversation from my mind and I opened my treasure chest.
Do I know anything about these pearls or not at all?
Go ahead and make an arcana check. Meanwhile...
Otherwise, I'm poking Zayden awake. I've rolled a one, I'm poking Zayden awake.
Okay, he sits up and he goes, oh, yes, what is it? Oh.
Oi, beads.
Mm. Oh, is that that time again? Oh, I see what you mean.
God.
Oh, never hurt. Yes. Never.
God.
Okay.
You're all as bad as each other.
He takes a look over and he says, oh, well, these are very impressive. These are beads of force. They can be used to be thrown about 60 feet. They explode on impact and are destroyed. But each creature within about 10 feet of the bead's impact point has to be dexterous or take some damage. And then a sphere of transparent force encloses the area for a minute. And any creature that failed that save is completely within the area and trapped inside the sphere.
Cool.
Creatures that succeeded or are partially within there are pushed away from the sphere, and only breathable air can pass through the sphere's wall, sort of no attack or other effect can. And obviously, once you're in the sphere, you can push it and roll it. These are incredible. These are very rare items.
I love how learned you are, baby.
You're listening to Zayden read D&D 5th edition.
Yeah.
From audiobooks.
Yeah. How many beads did she get?
Three.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
All right, I'm popping open my treasure chest. Popping it
All right. And Archie, you wanted two as well, right?
Yes, please.
Lovely. So, Gwathryn, you touch your chest again, this golden light, and it creaks open to reveal 50,000 crowns and a small Hessian bag in which there seem to be some beans.
And I eat them. No.
And you have a note. Specifically begins with the words, not for eating.
Okay, tell me about can I tell what the beans do?
You can make an arcana check, and your note says, not for eating, but in the hope that good will grow from them.
Oh, nice.
Archie, you open your chest to find, again, this burst of light, 50,000 crowns and four horseshoes.
Oh, I read the note.
The note says, for when a knight needs a faster steed to pursue his story.
Oh.
Damn.
I'd like to do an arcana check on the horseshoes, please.
All right, lovely stuff. Go ahead and roll arcana, and you can as well, Gwathryn.
Oh, it was nearly a natural 20, but it ends up being a 9.
A 9, very nice. So you're not entirely sure what these are. They seem pretty useful, and cool. They seem to be horseshoes, so you can probably put them on a horse.
Yeah, that'll do.
Mine's a 12.
A 12. Okay, you're pretty sure that you've heard of this. This seems to be, shockingly, a bag of beans. But beans are magic in this context, and they all seem to have different effects. There are a whole variety of them. If you dump them out onto the ground, you know that they would just explode. But you can also remove a bean and plant it, and an effect is produced a minute later. And the effect is very random. It could be anything from a giant beanstalk, a nice campfire, a load of a treant can happen, a load of toadstools can happen.
A treant. Did you say a treant?
Yes.
Wow. Oh my gosh, I'm reading the list. I found the item. Oh my God.
Yeah, that's what they are. So bag of beans.
Bag of beans.
Oh my God.
I love my bag
and
of
mine
beans.
Mine was what? A feather. What was my feathers?
Yours was, do you want to know your note or the name of it?
No, describe the item again.
It was a feather token made to look like a swan boat.
And the note said,
if you ever need a journey and cannot rely on calm seas.
Oh,
so I would like to look around. Where's Journey?
You take a look around. You get dressed. You take a look. You can't see Captain Sten. She's not on the ship. But as you take a look down into the bottom of the ship, into the hull, you can see that the hold is empty.
Well, we need to help her. Where's she gone?
Let's go up top, guys. Let's have a look at where we are.
I ask around and see if anyone's seen her.
No one seems to have. Everybody seems groggy, tired after the party, confused.
Everyone means all the crew? Yeah. The crew that we know and love?
All the crew, yep.
Okay, let's go up top. Where are we? Are we in the same place?
Yeah, so you're all on the bank of this underground lake. You can see that the only other exit to this chamber is a stone staircase cut in going further in.
Yeah, we gotta go up the stairs. We gotta check she's okay.
Okay.
You going?
I leave the 50,000 crowns by my bunk. I take the feather crown, the feather boat that was left on top of it, and yeah, let's go.
I'm gonna put my horseshoes with cupcake. I'm gonna put in the saddlebag.
Okay, lovely stuff. You'll hurry up the stairs. You step out, after a little bit of running, into a beautiful chamber of smooth rock, shot through with veins of amethyst and gold. The only light source here comes from the far end, where Captain Sten sits, illuminated by blue firelight. You can see the floor at the far end seems to end in a ridge, and whatever the source of that light is down beneath it. Hearth's coffin is open in front of her, the lid propped to one side, and as you approach across this 50-40 foot distance, inside it for the first time, you can see a woman. In her 40s, she's in a simple dress of black fabric that twinkles with pinpricks of light. Her face is peaceful, weather-beaten and still, and her dark hair sits in a neat braid curled up beside her ear. The captain is sat beside this coffin, just staring. She says, I just wanted one more minute before I go. Is that selfish?
Of course not.
You go where?
She gestures to the ridge and the blue fire below. This fire made us. I place her in there and she comes back. But there's a price to magic like this. She comes back, I'm gone.
What do you mean, gone?
Etim Regid will be better with her, anyway. She was always better, kinder. She was the only one that understood me. I've tried. You've got to believe me, I tried for 10 years to do our work without her. To mend the celestial fabric, to protect our people. It's too much. I'm defeated. My adventure has ended. You know, it's funny, they say all the best adventures end with the hero returning home. But she was the only one that was ever home to me. Over all those years. So finally I get to do something for her. You're a good crew. Very good crew. The captain looks out over the fire.
Does it have to be you, Captain?
A god for a god. Seems a fair enough sacrifice.
What's to say she's not going to be lonely without you?
Maybe she will be. She was always the stronger of us.
I'm sure she'll find some way to get on.
I can't imagine anyone stronger than you.
That's kind. You're a good crew. She stands.
Can we do anything to make this easier?
Unless you have another gold soul lying around.
I check my pockets.
You do not.
Oh! I'm going to show her my ring. Maybe... maybe
what, sacrifice your dad?
Yeah, fuck this guy.
Wow.
Maybe something like this would do?
She looks over and she says, that's kind. But the power is far beyond what he could do.
Will you have a chance to communicate with her during the transition? Tell her how you feel. If not, give us a message. We can convey a message at least.
Will you tell her I should have paid more attention when she tried to teach me to spin?
Yes, Captain. Aye, aye. And I salute.
She leans in and she takes Hearth's body gently in her hands and stands up. She steps towards the fire and you see slowly this facade peels away, this body that she's borrowed. Even that can't stand up to the heat of a flame that could forge deities. And you see him, finally, the sailor from the tapestries. He gives you a sad smile, and then he steps over the ridge, and he disappears. Suddenly, all four of you hear shouting from down the stairs. The clash of metal on metal, and a familiar voice triumphant and echoing. You fools! You led us right to them! And now we can claim the Forge of the Gods in the name of the Regent Company.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
And that...
fuck you guys!
...is where we'll end our session.
Fuck you guys! No!
Superb.
Of shit is why I asked the shapeshifter dudes to come and follow us. That felt like a thing they should have been there for.
Yeah, fuck. Whoops. Should have.
Very so good. There you go. Very good.
That is the end of our episode for today. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Shout out to all of you lovely sandwiches in chat. It is really, really lovely to see you all in, and especially when we have strange sound going wrong and no overlays and everything else. So really appreciate it. Shout out again to Martin for trying to help us with tech. Thank you guys so much. Where can people find all of our lovely cast? Sasha, where can people find you on social media?
At Sasha Kaelin on Twitter and Sasha Ellen Comedy on Facebook.
Talal, where can people find you?
At Talalaban. Everywhere.
Great. John Gracie, where can people find you?
You can find me at John Gracie on Twitter. Please do. Follow me.
Lovely. And Dan, where can people find you?
And I'm Dan Simpson Poet on all the platforms.
Fabulous. I am Vic Hawley and Vic.Hawley, and if you can't find me, then look harder. If you fancy joining up to our Discord and having a nice chat, that'd be lovely. If you enjoyed the show, why not toss us a couple of dollars on Ko-Fi? We would really appreciate it. We will be back next week for the finale of the Etienne Regia arc, so make sure that you are caught up by then. If you have missed any VODs and anything like that, it is all on the YouTube. And if you fancy listening to our beautiful podcast, why not give it a try and listen to Talal's amazing audio?
Bring Vicky Hawley, John Gracie, Sasha Ellen, Dan Simpson, and me, Talal Karkouti. All our socials are in the podcast description. Give us a follow and say hi. Find Vicky's World RPG on Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, and Insta to stay up to date with everything Vicky's World, including all of our live streams and the beautiful fan art that we get sent. If you like the show, please, please, please tell your mates. Nothing beats word of mouth, and we really appreciate all the love we've been getting so far, but we're hungry for more. Thanks to Acast for hosting us, and many, 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 many thanks to Adam Janota-Bazovsky for the incredible music. This show was edited by yours truly, logo is by Amber SDF, and all our gorgeous artwork is by B. Watts. Theme song by me and John Gracie. Thanks so much for listening. See you next time. Down in Vicky's world.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.